Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jansen Brooks, and I'd like to welcome everybody to the Council of Elders Call-In Talk Show. Today is October 1st, 2022, and we have a wonderful guest today, Mr. John Brown of Sacramento, California. But before we get started, let me just tell you a little bit about the concept of the Council of Elders. It's a concept where elders in the community will reach out to younger people to give them advice and counsel, and also to listen to young people because they have a lot of valuable advice and counsel as well. And so, having said that, Mr. John Brown is on the show today. John, thank you for being on the Council of the Elders show today. Appreciate you.
I'm glad you had me.
Yeah, John, I wanted to take some time today to pay tribute to you for taking me to from a dream, I guess you could say, into reality. Because you were the one who encouraged me to do the Blog Talk Radio. And that was about 2.5 years ago. And it's been a lot of fun, challenging, you know. I met a lot of people, talked to a lot of people, made a lot of contact, and I just enjoyed, you know, people calling in from all over the country, you know, even Canada sometimes. And so I just wanted to thank you, John, for getting me into the blogging show business.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know, like, hey, man, when God puts something on your heart, you know that you're supposed to do it. You know, so I'm just so happy that you went on and did what you're doing, because I didn't call in and listen in to some of your shows, man, and very educational. I've talked to people on your show. They gave so much knowledge, you know, things that I didn't know nothing about. You know, so I'm just I appreciate you taking the time just to do that, because, you know, sometimes, you know, people do things for other people, and they never get recognition. You know, they never say, get a thank you or what. You know what I'm saying? And thank you so much for doing that for me. I feel so good this morning, you know, just to have somebody say, well, I'm recognizing, I'm giving this special day to John L. Brown. You know, because that means so much to me. That means a lot. Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. I really do appreciate it.
Well, John, I think you're such a great man. You have such a compelling story. You was born in Louisiana, and then you went to the Marines, I believe it was. Then you went to Vietnam, and then the way you tell it, John, you weren't sitting up in no office when you was in Vietnam.
No, I sure wasn't, man. I got a lot of stories. I can tell you one good story. You know that you know, I don't want to talk about it too much, but I've been through a few fights. Okay, yeah, I've been through a few fights. Yeah, you ever heard of Ho Chi Minh?
Yeah.
Okay, he was the ruler of North Vietnam. And we was around Mother's Ridge in the DMZ. That was in September of 1969. I'll never forget this day. And with Mother's Ridge and the DMZ, that was on a Mother's Ridge was the borderline of Laos. Okay, we got a message to the field where we was operating around that area. And that it was a ceasefire. The North Vietnam wanted a ceasefire. And the reason for that, Ho Chi Minh had died. Okay, Ho Chi Minh, he was the ruler of North Vietnam, and he had died, so they wanted a ceasefire to honor him. So, you know, like the United States, us, you know, Marines and the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, we was all out there. You know, and I was in the bush, me and my team. So we ceasefire. Man, them jokers, it wasn't no ceasefire. They fooled around, and when we ceasefire, we, you know, out there just doing our thing and having fun and stuff like that, they lit up on us, you know. I mean, that was one of the... One of, you know, and I didn't get hit that day, you know, but I've seen a lot of people, you know, they hit us and they hit us pretty hard, and it was a lot of casualties, a few people got killed, you know, and things of that nature. You know, I think about some of the things like that, you know, and especially around certain part of the months, like September, I thought about that, right. You know, like reminiscing what happened in September that was devastating, you know, in my life. You know, and there's many mm-hmm. other stuff, you know, that was going on. I remember Marvin Gaye, when he did the song, What's Going On? That was during the Vietnam. Brother, brother. Mm-hmm. You remember that song? You know, he did song, you know. Yeah, and that was during the Vietnam War. You know, it was a lot of stuff. You know, it was a lot of things that was going on. I remember going to Vietnam, leaving from Norton Air Force Base, because we had to fly with the Air Force. And you know, they had protesters outside the base. And I remember coming back, you know, from Vietnam. Coming back from Vietnam, they had protesters coming back from Vietnam outside the gates and stuff, you know, the military base, because we flew back into the Norton because I was stationed at Camp Pendleton. And, man, people was, you know, they was throwing rocks and bricks and bottles and stuff like that. Because when we left the airport, they pick us up in buses to transport us back to Norton Air Force Base. Well, to transport us back to Camp Pendleton. And so when we got, you know, coming out the gate, they was throwing rocks, man, and calling us baby killers and all kind of stuff.
John. That must have been pretty hard on you psychologically, I would think.
Oh, that was very hard psychologically. And then that was back in 1970. And when I came back from Vietnam, back in 1970. And so, you know, like they was given, the Marines was given some people early outs, and they gave me a couple months early since I came back from Vietnam. I didn't serve my tour. I got hit, you know, when I was there in June 16th, 1969. I got hit, you know, meaning I got wounded, you know, in combat. And what had happened, when I got out, I went on and got out to service, man, I couldn't get no job nowhere. Couldn't get no job nowhere, you know. And then, you know, like I'm talking about a job, but that gonna pay. You know, I was, I did get a job. I was cleaning, I left Louisiana and went to San Francisco, and I was cleaning toilets, you know, bathrooms at a company called Edna's Life and Casualty on Market Street. That was back in 1970. And so, you know, they weren't paying that much. And I didn't like the idea, you know, me cleaning bathrooms and, man, them people on your case. So I said, you know, one thing, I ain't messing around with that. You know, and then
how,
I was smoking.
How old were you,
John?
How old were you at that when you?
I was 20.
20 years old.
I just turned 20. Yeah, I was
and
in
was
Vietnam at
Vietnam?
18. Yeah, I was back to Vietnam, back from Vietnam at 20.
You got an 18-year-old out there in firefight. Man, I tell you. War.
That's
hell,
right.
Man.
I was ready. I was preparing to go to war at 17 because I didn't finish high school. I got a draft notice to go to the Army when I was going to turn 18, but I didn't want to go to the Army, so I went to sign up for the Marines.
John, in case y'all just see a few people just calling in, we're having a tribute to Mr. John L. Brown today, the man that got me into Blog Talk Radio, and we're dedicating the show to him, and hope y'all enjoy it. Go ahead, John.
After I came back, it was hard for me to get a job and something that we're going to pay money because, number one, I didn't have my GED at the time, and I didn't finish high school. So I said, you know one thing, man, I'm going back. I stayed out for about 6 months. And I went back into the Marine Corps and stayed another 4 years, you know, in the Marines. I got out in 1975. I went back to Vietnam twice after the first time. And the last time I went to Vietnam, the last part, it was back in 1975. That was during the fall of Saigon. And I went in and helped rescue some of the refugees when the Vietnamese people was coming to the United States and going to different parts of the world. Well, then I was one of the people that helped rescue them. And, but anyway, that's so much for that, you know. So, I struggled for many, many years and had good jobs after I came back, when I went back in, I got my GED, you know, through the Marine Corps. They sent me to school at night. I was going to school at night and to get my GED because, you know, I started reminiscing. Man, when I first got out, I couldn't even get no job because I had no education. And I didn't know how to do nothing but kill, you know. So that,
right.
That was... You know, so that was kind of devastating, you know. But, I started work. I got a job. But the second time I got out, I did a lot of little jobs and stuff and started working for the post office back in the 80s. I got out in 75, and in 82 I started working for the post office, and I retired from the post office, you know. Yeah.
Right. The thought occurred to me, John, that what you went through in Vietnam, man, you're a walking miracle, John, to go get through that.
Oh, yeah.
Had to go back, you know, couldn't find a job. You're a walking miracle, man.
Yeah, you know, people would turn you down, and then I then got to the point, you know, like when I got out the second time, I wouldn't tell nobody I was a Vietnam veteran. No. Because, you know, because I thought I was looking at it to where as though people was going to start looking at me differently, you know, and that was already hard enough by me being a black man, you know, and, you know, with jobs and stuff, it was like still a lot of racism, until the quota system came into play and, affirmative action. It was still a lot of racism where black people it was hard for them to get jobs. You know, now they had, I'm not saying all whites was bad, but it was, you know, some whites felt as though, you know, like, hey, you know, like we wasn't deserving. So I'd be darned if I was going to tell them I was a Vietnam veteran. You know, and especially after the first experience, they calling you baby killers and don't want to hire you and, you know, yeah, we'll hire you, having you clean bathrooms, you know, toilets, you know.
Right.
That didn't, yeah, you know, I didn't want to do all of that, so I wouldn't tell nobody, you know, that I was, the only thing that, you know, I had to put it down when I started working for the post office, when I took the test for the post office, they told me to make sure I put that down there because I have a Purple Heart. And Purple Heart is one of the highest personal medals any human being can accomplish, because a Purple Heart means that you got hit in combat. And and so, you know, like when I got out the government, well, then you had a Purple Heart, well, then you automatically get 10 points. You know, extra 10 points. You see what I'm saying? So if you made an 80 on the test, well, then you got a 90.
Right. Well, you certainly deserve it, being hurt in combat, you know. That's the least they can do.
Yeah, so that was a good thing, you know, for the veterans, for all the veterans, you know.
Right.
Like I tell a lot of people, you know, when you I can talk about this now, you know, but at one time I couldn't talk about it. But everybody that been to Vietnam didn't fight.
Right.
Okay. They had some in the rears. They had your people. Because you have a different thing. You have your cooks. They not in the bush, you know, fighting.
Right.
You have your armor people. They rear. You have your office people. They in the rear. Combat, you're a combat veteran. That's when you actually in a bush. That's when you actually fighting and seeing a lot of combat, blood and guts.
Right. Hold on, John. They got a caller in. Caller in the 770. Please state your name. Where you calling from?
Hey, this is Malcolm Hughes again, calling from outside of Atlanta, Georgia. First of all, John, I want to commend you for your service, my man. And I know lots of guys who went to Vietnam and didn't come back. And then saw a lot of guys who did come back, were kind of messed up a little bit. So, again, commend you for your service. Like they say on the commercials, freedom ain't free. And but my question is, what are some of the benefits? Because a lot of the veterans, I interacted with a few veterans over the years, and they, you know, they seem to get, like you said, preferred treatment and some things. But what are some of the benefits that you see the veterans have taken advantage of over the years and today are not taking advantage of? College education and housing and loans and things of that nature. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Well, one good thing about when our government say that they was going to take care of us, well, you know one thing, they was telling the truth, okay? But Now, you know, you are, you know, if you're a Vietnam veteran, you don't have to be a Vietnam veteran, any veteran. You know, you got home loans and things of that nature. The VA is really good with that. You know, you got your hospitalization. You know, you. I think these days you have to pay a little small copay for your medicine and your hospitalization, but it's still cheaper than the outside. Me myself, I don't think no veteran that served the country should pay for hospitalization and should pay for medicine. But I'm not the one that makes the rules and regulation, you know, but it's still better than on the outside. The VA has really good doctors these days. You know, at one time they wasn't that good. You know, there was, I understand that they wasn't that good, but now they're pretty good. You know, you can go to school. The good thing about it, too, you can go to school and you can get paid. Let's say if you get married and then if you happen to have children, your children, you know, if you're older and if you never used your, what you call your VA benefits, your children can go to school. I mean, it's just so much that the VA have, you know. And I would suggest to everybody that's listening to this, and if you have children, you know, and you haven't used your VA benefits, well, you need to go see a counselor at the VA and see if you can transfer your benefits to your children, because that's very important. The free education and plus get paid while you're going to school, you can't beat that. And if you die, let's say if you're married and if you happen to pass away, well, the VA going to make sure that your spouse is taken care of. They're going to get free medical. They're going to get, and especially if you're 100%. Get free medicine. I mean, they, you know, plus they give you a monthly allotment every month, and I think it's about $1,300-$1,400 a month, might be $12, I'm not really sure. But it's a lot of good benefits by being a veteran. Hello?
Yeah, for that perspective. Yeah, thank you for that perspective, John.
Yeah.
Looking forward to hearing the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, John, thank you, Malcolm. John, how did you get into the, when I met you, using kind of a television production business or something like that? How did you get into that?
Well, I remember, well, I'm an author, okay? I got a couple of books out. One of them is The Unspoken, What the World Don't Talk About. And another one is Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, the two books that I wrote. And I was promoting the book Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes. And I met this lady named Miss J. Okay. Well, she was a host for another radio show. So she got in contact with me and asked me if I wanted to go on a radio show. And they was out of, it's called Hot Topic Radio. They're out of Las Vegas. I was on it, and I was on it the same time Freeway Rick Ross was on it. You heard of Freeway Rick Ross, right?
Yeah.
He was on it, yeah. He was, me and him was on it the same day. It was an hour. I had a half an hour. He had a half an hour on the show. So, you know, we talked, and then
hold on, John. One question: how did Miss J notice you? What was you doing? I mean,
well, I was promoting my book. I was promoting my
promoting
book. You know, right? Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, and you know how people surf the internet. You know,
right,
and
right.
So she saw the book. She saw me. She liked what I was talking about. So she invited me to her show. And so I went on and, yeah, and I went on. And so one day I had a lady out of Canada. She was promoting my book, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes. And I told, and she had promised me to television shows and radio shows and stuff, but it wasn't going fast enough for me. So me and Ms. J, we kept in contact with each other. So I told her, I said, you know one thing, Ms. J, I think I'm going to get my own talk show. So that's when I got my own talk show. So I learned the game. You know, Ms. J taught me a lot because she was already in it, you know. And so I learned the game and stuff like that. And so I got my talk show, and I did a documentary during that time and all of that stuff. And so I was on a radio, Block Talk Radio, matter of fact, for about 5 years. Four or five years, I forgot. Well, anyway, I told Ms. J, you know one thing, I want to go television. I'm tired of this. I'm going TV. So I got with another gentleman over at Access Sacramento, a local television station. I got with him, and I got with another person. And we had a meeting at, three people, we had a meeting at my house, and we went on and did the television, and we stayed on air for about a year, you know, until the pandemic came, and we had, they had to close down the radio station. And I think that's, matter of fact, you were supposed to come on a show, but you couldn't come on, you did come on a show, but you came on,
I came over to visit that studio, and I think that's when I met you, when I was at the studio. I think that's
right.
When it was.
Right.
That you was
right.
At.
And
I forget why I came over there. I wanted to be on a show, you know, with what do you call it, Access Sacramento, and
right.
That's when I met you. Somehow we got to talking about thinking about it. So
yeah, we got to talking about what you had cooking inside. It's cooking in your brain, man.
But you're right though. The pandemic stopped the whole process. So,
that's
but we
right.
kept in contact.
But you know one thing though, you and I, we talked and we talked and we talked and we talked. For a long time, and man, you used to tell me so much, and you gave me so much knowledge, you know. And I say, wow, Mr. Johnson, I say, man, you got to do something with that. You can't, God ain't just gave you this all this knowledge, man, and this beautiful, this beautiful spirit you have. God ain't just gave you that just to keep to yourself. You remember that? And I say, man, you got to give it away. You got, you know, you're gonna fool around and get fat. Keep it all that stuff inside of you.
Imagine yep. you giving advice to great Jordan L. Brown, but anyway, I'll take it.
Man, you went on and got yourself together, got your radio station together, and you've been gone now at it for about 2.5 years. Just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, currently there are several other platforms that weren't available at that time, you know, StreamYard, Anchor, this something called Clubhouse. There's other avenues available that I think I could get more eyes and ears on, you know. I'm going to pretty soon be on some other platforms. But certainly, John, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even probably be in this. And the thing is, you know, I do enjoy it. It's a hobby. You know, I'm trying to promote a concept whereby, you know, elders in the community would, you know, actually reach out and have communication with younger people, which I think that should be more of. And so I'm gonna be checking out some other platforms as we go along. But a lot going on. You know, I was thinking this morning about national politics, and I know that's a touchy subject, but I'm just looking at our former president and all of the stuff. The man seems to enjoy being, you know, in the news, you know, and you know what I'm saying? It's amazing.
Are you talking about Obama or
Trump?
President
Trump, yeah. He seems to enjoy getting in and out of trouble, you know?
But you know one thing, what I can't understand, don't you know is a lot of people still like Trump? And that they were still saying how much he did for the community and you know, and I can't see everything. I can't see what he did. You know? Maybe it's, I don't know if it's me or if they, or what, but I can't see really what he really, really did for the community, for no community, to be honest with you. You know,
right,
because
right,
the whole
right.
time he was in, the whole time he was in office, you know, now some of the things he was saying, you know, that I agreed with, you know, but the majority of the stuff he was saying, it was a bunch of malarkey. Life don't is not that way. You know?
Right.
So, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't, you know. What you think about him? Your other guest, the one that called in, is he still there? Malcolm?
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, what I think...
I'm here. You know, Trump is not one of my favorites either, and I mostly disagree with what he did. But I will say this about Trump. Hey, the economy was booming. Interest rates were low. Inflation was way down. Unemployment was way down. And so he did have some good features about him. I'll bring up a controversial topic. The borders, protected borders. Now, while he was in office, I didn't agree with what he was talking about, building a wall and all that kind of stuff. But now I would take the position of building the wall more so than the open border situation that we are presently facing. So what are your thoughts on this open border versus building the wall? I think I'll let you guys talk on that.
What do you think,
well, I don't know. Open borders, that would be kind of rough. You know, because
that's
we got to have
now,
yeah, but you see, the thing is that we got to have some type of control. Okay,
right.
Actually, normally, my understanding, I'm not really sure. I think the Air Force normally patrolled the borders of Mexico. You know, because they got that Air Force base out there around the Mojave Desert. And, man, you know, like, we don't need a open borders with Mexico because there's too much drug. That's a drug cartel, man. There's too much drug. The United States is already all messed up with drugs, okay? You know, I mean, it's really messed up. You know, if you can remember, and it's been messed up ever since the 80s, if you guys can remember in the early part of the 80s how the cocaine crack cocaine that just, I mean, it destroyed us. It destroyed our cities, man, not only California, but throughout the United States. Now they got stuff that what they call fentanyl or whatever. You know, you take that, you take a piece of that, and now people dropping dead. And all that stuff, I don't know, but my understanding, what I be hearing, all that stuff is coming from Mexico. You know, and we got to secure the border some kind of way. We have to. You know, so how to do it.
They've been talking about that forever, you know. what do they call it, Comprehensive Act. They've been talking about that forever. It seems like they don't, nobody really want to do, you know, do anything about the border. And we have laws that, you know, people can what do they call it, I forget what you call it, when you just say, I'm running from another country, some word they have for it. Y'all might could think of it. But it's just kind of like gotten really out of control at this point.
Yeah, it is, man. Well, I think what then got it out of control, you know, is the drugs in this country that then got way out of control. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well,
you know, and it's still, it's been out of control ever since the drug war back in the 80s. You know, we ain't won that drug war. Drugs is still hitting our communities, man, really, really bad. You know, and that's where the Council of Elders come in. And that's what I like about this program and what you'd be talking about, Mr. Jansen, because, you know, like, we older people and we know, you know. And our kids, man, they look up to us, believe it or not. I know some of them is hard-headed and don't want to listen to us, but a lot of our young people, they look up to us. They want to take our advice. That's just like having a family. You know, and you got kids that's disruptive in a household, you know, but they still want to take your advice. They still need your advice. And that's what, you know, the Council of Elders, you know, has a big, powerful play in our communities, because us older people, we can actually talk to these young people. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, John,
yeah,
I agree with you. John, I was going to say I agree with you total on that. I think kids, they, young people in general, are looking for leadership. They're looking for somebody to set boundaries, because if they're left up to their own devices, you know, they don't know where to go and what to stop or where the boundary is. And
that's
so
right.
Sometimes adults get confused about that situation, and they abdicate their responsibility to provide those boundaries and that leadership and direction to kids. And so I'm in total agreement with what you're saying about them looking to us for leadership.
That's right. They look and they need that. You know, they need that. You know, us, you know, because we OG, that's why they call us OGs. They look up to us. You know, I've been walking down the street. Matter of fact, I was at the gas station, me and my friend, and I got out of the car, and I was kind of, you know, I like wearing my hats. Mr. Jansen, though, I like wearing my hats. I like to look halfway decent, you know, because like the old style, you know. And the man, this young man saw me. He was putting gas in his car, and he said, "Whoa, OG, man, that's clean." That's what I say, bro. I said, "You can do the same thing. Go get you some nice clothes. You don't have to wear your clothes all sagging," you know. And he said, "Where you get that?" And I told him where I got it from, you know, and the clothes from. And matter of fact, you know where I be getting my clothes at, over at Distinguished Gentleman.
Right. Yeah, they got some nice clothes. I've been over there to meet the lady. What's her name? Miss somebody.
Miss Penelope.
Miss Penelope, yeah. Yeah, they got a nice store over there.
Yeah. I think they move. I'm not really sure where they move at, because I hadn't talked to them in a while, because I had been ill, you know. I'm better now, but... I hadn't talked to him in a while.
John, what you had to get some surgery, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that Agent Orange at then took a play, man, on me.
Oh, you think that Agent Orange had something to do with it?
Oh, I know. That's exactly what it was. Oh, yeah. That stuff messed up a lot of men. Lots of men. You know, they sprayed that. And then what make it so bad, it didn't make no difference if you was a combat veteran or a regular veteran. You know, it messed up a lot of veterans, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they, because it was, you know, it was sprayed, you know, and it's go, you know, it air take it all over the place. Then you couldn't hide with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, mm-hmm. so many mm-hmm. veterans. So many veterans, man, that done been there, that, you know, got mm-hmm. messed up with that Agent Orange. And another thing, too, a lot of people, you know, you know, I would like to set the record straight. A lot of people was been thinking, I don't know if they still think that way, that when Vietnam veterans came back from Vietnam, they had a drug problem. Let me tell you something. We didn't use drugs in the bush. Okay, whilst we were fighting, you better not get caught smoking no weed in the bush fighting. You know, you might, you know, you know, that's what we didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So
they
was using
right.
drugs, but they was using, it was in the rear. Not the combat veteran. Combat veteran didn't use no. A lot of people have that myth about, oh, man, you was in a bush. That's where all the weed was. No. Yeah, it was a lot of weed and stuff like that in the bush, but we wouldn't mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, let me just
say,
if anybody's, if you're listening and you have a question or comment for Mr. John L. Brown today, press the number one on your phone and we'll let you ask a question and make a comment. But, yeah, so that's interesting. I see this thing in the news now about Camp Lejeune. If you was, people was Lejeune, they calling them in for their lawsuits and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, some about the water. Yeah, I was at the VA the other day. I had to go and draw blood. And I met a gentleman. He was stationed. He was a Marine. During that time, he was stationed at Camp Lejeune, and so he had to take blood tests and stuff like that, you know, to see how it affected him. So he got mm-hmm. a claim in. So I don't know. So he had asked me if I ever been to Camp Lejeune, but I never was at Camp Lejeune. No.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You ought to file a claim anyway." I said, "Oh, no, huh?"
He's not going to jail.
No, no. No. I ain't. Hey, look here, I'm okay. I know I wasn't at Camp Lejeune, and I ain't filing no claim. I don't play with them people, man.
It's
you
funny
know,
how the devil will try to tip you sometimes, man.
Oh, you know, I do not play with them people. They'll probably put me in jail, if you understand, because I know better. Oh, no. That's one thing you don't want to do is mess with the government, man. Nah, they do. When you know, like our government, you think control, you have control of yourself and control of everything. Man, we ain't got, if you really, really, really want to look at it, we ain't got, especially if you're poor and don't have nobody to fight for you, you ain't control, you're not in control of nothing. Some people can do what they want to do to you. You know, you can
right,
fight,
right.
You understand, but by the time you fight, you'd be lost everything. You know, you won't have no money for nothing. You'd be homeless by the time you finish because the lawyer's going to take all your money. Oh, no, I wouldn't. I don't mess with it. I try to stay out of harm's way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. You're right, though, John. They say cash is king in this country.
That's right. And you know, I want to bring this up. You know, especially to our young people, if you out there listening, and I'm quite sure you're gonna put this, you know, this interview up somewhere else. Well, you know, one thing, young people, this is for the young people. Go out there and follow your dream. As long as your dream is helping somebody else out, you understand, go out there and do it. And another thing is so much in the communities that need to, there's so much work in the communities that need to be done. It's a lot. I have a friend of mine. He's out of Hollywood. His name is Dex Elliott. Okay, he got a movement going right now, Blacks Stop Killing Blacks. And that's one of the biggest, that's one of the best movements that's around right now. And the reason for that is because we got to stop hurting one another. We got to stop trying to kill one another or killing one another. We should be in a space right now to where as though, you understand, we can leave our house at night and go to the store and come back and still have our stuff in it. We should be to where as though, you remember back in the day, man, we used to go walking at night with our girlfriends holding hands and stuff like that. You know, now these days they can't even do that, man. And, you know, they fool around and might get shot, you know, or stuff like that, you know. So, you know, we got to get back, you know, our young people. And our young people is the one that actually can get things back. Yeah, we can go on and give them our knowledge, but they got to go ahead on and do it. Get things back in our community. Back together.
Right. Well, John, you say this guy, he's starting a movement, you know, just like Black Lives Matter. Then his movement is Black Stop Killing Black.
Right.
Listening, you know, you just remember that, you know, maybe you could spread that message as well. Do he have something like a website or anything?
Yes, it's called Brown Rice Entertainment. He was an actor. He done played in a lot of movies, you know, with Angela Bassett and you know, some of the people that, you know, that you might know. Angela Bassett was one of them. He played in movies. He played on General Hospital. He played on a lot of movies, you know.
Well,
I can't remember.
I think he did a good thing when he came up with that, and I hope that spreads, you know, throughout the country. Blacks Stop Killing Blacks, you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a movement, and you know, like I kind of like on the internet and stuff. I kind of like share some of his stuff, you know, Blacks Stop Killing Blacks, you know, because. It's time for us to wake up, you know, and smell the coffee. You know what I'm saying? That we need one another, and we got to start showing each other us. We got to start showing love toward each other, rather than, you know, trying to get back at one another. You know, oh, you going with my girlfriend now? I'm gonna kill you. You know what I'm saying, or stuff like that. We got to stop that. You know, we got to leave stuff like that alone. You know, we got to start loving one another. We got to start helping one another. If you see grandma trying to cross the street, you know, go help her cross the street. Make sure that, you know, if you see grandma or grandpa, they can't cut their grass, is long, you understand? Stop and ask them, you know, cut their grass for them. You young, especially young brothers and the young sisters, you understand? You know, call your elders and see how they're doing. You know, and if they need something done, ask them if they need something from the store. That's what, you know, You know, we got to start doing these things, you know?
Right. You're right, John. When you was talking, you just took me back to a day gone by. So you're like, you say, well, you leave your door open and you walk at night. But you know, you got to have that vision and that dream. So, you know, these people that started little movements like that, I commend them because, you know, it brings the topic up to the surface.
Right. And to be, I mean, you know, like me, I don't know, I might be kind of weird or, you know, on certain things, you know, like, I don't believe in marches, okay? I'm quite sure a lot of people do believe in marches. That's just me. I don't believe in going, standing in front of the White House or standing in front of the state capitol or whatever, you know, in protest. I don't believe in that. But I do believe in going to, like, city councilor meetings. I do believe in, like, going to them type of meetings like that and getting on the agenda, you know, and present to the council, you know, what we need in a community, okay? And hopefully that they can go ahead on and get together and come up with something to where as though we can fulfill what we need in the community. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, I do believe in that. And I do believe to where as though, you know, us older people, you know, we should get our young people and take them to the city councilor meetings, you know, the young people, and let them see how the system is, how the system works, what they do, how they come up with different programs and things of that nature. We need to get into that and take them, you know, and get them involved, because voting is very, very important, you know, and we can put stuff on the ballot with enough signature. If you want to put something on the ballot, you can put it on the ballot for your city, for your town, or for your district, or whatever, you know what I'm saying, and show them how to do these things, and that's how we change things.
Right. Well, you're so right about that, John. John, I know we was talking a while back. You had joined the church. I think you had committed your heart to Christ or recommitted your heart to Christ.
Oh yeah. I always, to be honest with you, I always, you understand, I've been committed my life to Christ. I don't go to church every Sunday, you know, but I do believe that there is a God. And the reason how I know there's a God is because my mother died at my birth. Okay? And I was raised by different people, you know, different family members and things of that nature. But I do know one thing is that God had me every step of the way until right now. Okay, from since I was a baby till now, God always did guide me, always did, you know, he gave me a good spirit. You know, he gave me a loving spirit. He gave me a spirit, a giving spirit. That's what I do. You know, that's how I make myself happy. When I can, you know, make somebody else happy, that's, you know, that's what, you know, God gave me. It's a spirit to make other people happy, and if I can make them happy, I'm happy.
Right. Well, John, you made me happy today when I called you 30 minutes before the show, and you agreed to come on. You, I really thank you, John, for that, and, you know, thank you for your friendship and, you know, guidance and so forth. I enjoy listening to your stories, you know, and just listening to you, I can just realize that God has had his hand on you all your life, you know, from Vietnam and, you know, all, you know, all after that and coming on up until now. And so just wanted to take some time out to give you credit where credit is due, my brother.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, man. And, you know, like I, you just don't know, you know. But you know one thing, though, Michelle, you, God is so good, man, until where, you know, he'll put you, God will actually send you to good people. He'll put you in the presence of good people. And that's what's been happening to me all my life. All my life, bro, I've been in the presence of good, solid people, you know. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I've been other, and I've been some around some people that was very disappointing, you know. But, you know, like, God took me away from them people.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. We've got about around 4 minutes to go here, and I want you to give us a kind of a finale of maybe some positive energy.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, I just want to tell everybody, let everybody know, you know, if you're listening to the show or whatever, spread the word. Go deep down inside of you and find something positive to where you can spread the word. You got to do positive things. You understand? Look for the love that God gave you on the inside. Spread love because God is love. Spread love. Talk to the young people about getting an education, you know, staying out of trouble. Get, you know, stay away from the from the system, you know, the judiciary system. You know, stay away from that, you know, because once you get into that, that's it. They're always looking at you. Stay away from that. Talk to people, you know, give them some good advices. You know, with that said, you know, God bless y'all. And, you know, and y'all go out there and do your thing. Have fun. Life is for you to have fun. But when you're having fun, you know, always put God first.
All right. All right, John. Well, thank you again for coming on the show today. And
my pleasure.
Like I say, I just remind people, I'm getting ready to go on some different platforms, but I will be letting everybody know, you know, how to get in touch, or you can always Google, you know. But I've really enjoyed Blog Talk Radio. Like I say, I met a lot of people, and it's just been very, it's been a lot of fun. And I do want to continue, you know, doing this type of stuff. But here lately, there are a lot of new and different platforms that were not available, you know, 2.5 years ago. That's come around. That's pretty interesting. So I want to give it a try. But anyway, we will close it out again today, folks. Thanks for calling in. And God willing, we'll see you next week. So we're going to wrap it up. Y'all have a nice weekend. And God willing, we'll talk to you soon. All right?
All right. All right. Well, I'll thank you for having me on your show, Mr. Jensen.